Today we're going to learn about a difficult subject. But it's in the parsha. It's got to be dealt with. This is the notion of Kiddush Hashem. The concept of sanctifying Hashem's name, which is how we refer to the idea of martyrdom. And it's found near the end of the third reading of Parshas Emor. The Torah says, firstly, in chapter 23, verse 32, Pasuk Lamed Beis, the Torah speaks first to us in, I guess, what you would call a negative context, telling us what not to do. And then the Torah goes on to tell us what it expects of us. So Hashem says, V'loy sechalu lo es shem kodshi. Do not desecrate my holy name. Don't desecrate my holy name. And then after that, that's what we shouldn't do. What should we do? The nikdashti. You should sanctify. Comes from the word kadosh. Kedusha means holiness, sanctity. The nikdashti. I will be sanctified b'seir b'nei Yisrael, amidst the children of Israel. Ani Hashem mikadishchem. I am the Lord, I am God who sanctifies you. So we have three parts of this pasuk. The first part of the pasuk is what we should not do. V'loy sechalu Hashem kodshi. Don't desecrate my holy name. The middle of pasuk lamed beis of the 32nd verse of chapter 23 is v'nikdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. I will be hallowed or sanctified amidst the Jewish people. And then a statement. Ani Hashem mekadishchem. I, the Lord God, am the one who sanctifies and hallows you. So let's take a look at part one of the pasuk. V'loy sechalalu. Rashi interprets the notion of sechalalu, or desecration, of Hashem's name, what we know in the vernacular as chilul Hashem. Laver al dvorai mizidin. To violate my commandments willfully. So when a person does the wrong thing or makes a mistake, it's a mistake. But when a person knows exactly what they're doing, and they're mindful, and they're willful in their transgression, and they say, right now, I'm going to violate the will of Hashem. God gave me a mitzvah. He has expectations of me. That's fine. And I shall do as I please. That, says Rashi, is a chilul Hashem. When a member of Bnei Yisrael gets up, and he says with full confidence, God is welcome to his opinion, and I am allowed to do as I want. That's a chilul Hashem. Now Rashi goes on to say, it does seem that any sin then becomes a potential chilul Hashem, no matter what you do. Whether you're eating a cheeseburger, embracing a foreign deity, or violating the Shabbos. Any sin would be a chilul Hashem. Now, mimashma shenemar v'loy sechalalu. So from this I understand, it says don't desecrate, that a person shouldn't violate the Torah and shouldn't do it with a sense of defiance. So ma talmud leimer v'nikdashti, what then, pray tell, is the meaning of sanctification? I would think that if chil Hashem is to violate the will of Hashem, so what's a kiddush Hashem? To do the will of Hashem. This is a violation, so if you don't do a violation, but instead you keep the mitzvahs and you dedicate yourself to living as Hashem wants you to, that would be a kiddush Hashem. What's the problem? Is the wrong book?
No, 22:32.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
You said 22.
I'm sorry. I confused everybody. Pasuk Chav Gimel, the Perek Chav Gimel begins with the fourth reading. I'm sorry. It's the second to last verse of chapter 22. My apologies. You figured it out?
Yeah.
So if chil Hashem is to brazenly violate the will of Hashem, then kiddush Hashem would mean, I would think, to very, very fully and devotedly and dedicatedly embrace the will of Hashem. So why do you have to say that then? V'nikdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. It's self-understood. If this is a chil Hashem, then the opposite would be a kiddush Hashem. What exactly is Hashem telling us? Now I want to break for a moment before we continue on with this Rashi. As Rashi begins to explain the positive meaning, what exactly is the Torah asking of us when it says Kiddush Hashem, which cannot simply be the opposite of Chilul Hashem, because then the Torah could spare us its words. The Torah could simply say, do not violate, do not desecrate my name. Don't cause a Chilul Hashem. And the opposite would be self-understood. So just as a point of interest with regard to what is a Chilul Hashem, so there are various other interpretations from other Rishonim, and even earlier. The Psaji Goen says that when a Yid expresses doubt in God's presence, that is a Chilul Hashem. And a Yid gets up publicly and says, I don't know, there is a God, there's not a God. I'm not sure if there's a God. I'm a little confused. The thing that some people do on a regular basis, and they think that's called asking questions. And that's something you're supposed to say, oh, don't Jews ask questions?
If you don't believe.
If a person gets up and he publicly, doubts, I don't know if I believe. Maybe I do believe, maybe I don't believe. Could be there's a God. I'm not sure. Today, maybe I think there is a God. Yesterday, I wasn't so sure. I don't know how I'll feel tomorrow about this. People speak like this. This is considered to be sometimes very, very intelligent musings. That certain Jewish people, they're proud that they have these questions and they can air these questions. And so Reb Sadie Gaon says that is a Chilul Hashem.
What if they're really actually troubled about this question?
And then they don't have to sing about it.
And it's a public thing.
So not every issue you have has to be aired on Facebook. I mean, this is fine on Facebook.
But because you're doing it very publicly.
But that's
you can still discuss this in a private
manner. A person can, should, and must deal with his issues. But you don't have to tell everybody what your issues. If you're having issues with your mother, do you have to announce it? I don't mean you. If the person has to go and announce it and air the dirty laundry? And if it was something they were actually embarrassed of, would they go tell everybody about? If they're having their cravings to eat other people or cannibalism, would they get up and say, I'm having cravings. I must tell you, when I have lunch with people, I actually want to eat the person I'm having lunch with.
It's tasty and age, baby.
I don't know. It looks much more appetizing than the fish and chips. Just think, I bite the person's nose, but I guess it's illegal, so I won't do it. Now, there may be such people. It would be a good idea if they tell you, so you'll know who not to have lunch with. But they would be, you would know to get them help, yeah. They should get themselves help. But they wouldn't be talking about this in public. The Psalm Yigoyen says that's a Chilul Hashem. The Sifsi Koyanim says something which is actually chilling. He says this is a warning for us as Jewish people not to do mitzvahs for the wrong reasons. He said a mitzvah should be done as a Kiddush Hashem. If you do a mitzvah for the wrong reasons, you're making a mockery of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, especially if you go and tell everybody about it. So if a person is nice to somebody else, but as to being nice to somebody, he said, really, I don't really care about you. In fact, if you're alive or dead, it makes no difference. But I want people to think I'm nice. So I'm being nice to you. How would you feel? Probably not very good. When a person gets up and he publicly says, I don't believe in God and Torah and mitzvahs. But you know what? My mother-in-law will be impressed. So I'm going to do this to keep my mother-in-law happy and keep peace in the family. That's a Chilul Hashem. In other words, doing the right thing for the wrong reasons isn't so cool. Now, it's true that a mitzvah shlei lishma is still better than no mitzvah, but it's a Chilul Hashem. Now, Ramban and Ibn Ezra have a whole different take on this. They say, no, this is not the general mitzvah, it's not martyrdom, it's a continuation of the mitzvah of Korbanot. We talked about offerings till now, and therefore this is a detail of the concept of Korbanot. If Kohanim don't do their job appropriately, Ibn Ezra says, that's a Chilul Hashem. Or Ramban says, if you bring a Korban out to the base of Mikdash. Okay, but we're not following that school of thought. Rashi introduces us to this. He says, so far he says, also broadly speaking, right? So what is the idea of Chilul Hashem? Chilul Hashem means when a person flagrantly and belligerently and openly violates the will of Hashem. So let's go back to Rashi now. What then is v'nikdashti? God says v'nikdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. Says Rashi that here we refer to far more than simply keeping the mitzvahs and doing so in a dedicated and a loyal fashion. But rather, it means that if a person is called upon to pay the ultimate price, mesor atzmecha, that you have to be ready to give yourself even into the hands of death. V'kadeshmi. Meser atzmecha is known in the vernacular as mesirat nefesh. Mesirat nefesh is giving your soul, paying with your soul, paying with your life, or paying what they call the ultimate price. Meser atzmecha, give yourself away, give yourself over. V'kadeshmi, and this will be a sanctification, says God, of my name. How does that work? So we have a situation where people are demanding of a Jew that he abandon his principles that he leave God and Torah and Yiddishkeit behind, or else he'll pay the ultimate price. So Rashi tells us that Kiddush Hashem means Mesir Da'atzmecha. When they ask you to pay that price, be ready to pay the ultimate price. Now Rashi says, Yochel, I might have thought that this is also B'yochid, if it's done in privacy. Talmud Leimer, the Torah comes along and says, and teaches me, B'soich Bnei Yisrael, where does the V'nikdashti take place when it's public? This is what we read about in the Rambam. The Rambam says, in a maimed of Asar Yisrael, in the presence of a public, in the presence of a minion, that's when it's called a Kiddush Hashem. And now Rashi interrupts his narrative, and he says, we are not just asking that you be ready to pay the ultimate price. Let me tell you how you have to be willing. Let me tell you what the preparedness is that is expected of you. The preparedness is that when the person gives himself over in this public way, ready to pay the ultimate price and not to abandon his or her Yiddishkeit, yimsert al manas lomos, then you have to do so with the expectation that you may actually pay the price. That's the expectation, says Rashi. Shekol ha-meisir atzmei al manas ha-neis, if a person gives himself over, he's ready to pay the price, but he's not really ready to pay the price. He's certain that God will have to make a miracle. So he says, I'm ready to make believe so that God can make a miracle for me. I'm ready to demonstrate as if I'm willing to pay the price, only because God's going to save me. Says Rashi, well, in that case, ein neis and lein neis. Then Rashi says, I can tell you very, very surely, if that's what you think is going to happen necessarily, if you didn't expect to pay the price, you thought this was just a game, and God's going to make a miracle, you're in big trouble. It's not going to work that way. And the very, very first Jew is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was ready to be thrown into a fiery furnace rather than abandon his principles of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happened? A miracle happened. Then he had a brother named Haran, Lot's father. And Haran said, I think I might believe in God. I mean, I probably do. Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to pay any prices, though. So Avraham Avinu says, let me see what happens to Avraham. I mean, if he ends up as toast, I don't want to be toast also. Then I'll just say I believe in Nimrod. But if Avraham gets saved, well, that... So what happened? Avraham got saved. And Nimrod said, oh, me too. Me too, says, hey, Nimrod, I'm a Haran. I also believe in this. You believe in this too? Poor Haran got thrown into the fire. But for him, there was no miracle, unfortunately. Haran never left the fire. He got thrown in. He didn't leave. What was the difference? Avraham Avinu didn't say, I'm prepared to let God make a miracle. I'll make believe that I'm getting thrown in a fire. Avraham Avinu said, I'm prepared to pay the price. Haran wasn't so sure, and ultimately he wasn't prepared to pay the price, and sadly he did. Shekein Matzino, Rashi says, we find this by Hananya, Mishael, Va'azaria, who were these three exceptionally righteous children, that the Nebuchadnezzar decreed upon them that they too should be thrown into a fiery furnace. Shalimosu, Atzmon, Amenas Hanes. They didn't say, oh, we learned in Cheder that Avraham Avinu got thrown into a fire and he came out. Ha, look at this. We're going to be like Avraham Avinu all over again. They're going to throw us into a fiery furnace and we're going to walk out. They didn't say that. They said, we were prepared to pay the ultimate price. And they were. And they told that to the king. The king said, they said to the king, there is a God. And he is a God, the God we worship. He could save us. We don't know that he will. We're prepared to pay the price. They didn't say, he will save us. Try us. You'll see. They didn't say that. They said he could save us. Shanemar, v'hein loy yadia lehevel malka di le'elohoch loy asina polchan u'letzelem d'dava di hakem tolo. This is Aramaic, because the book of Daniel is written in Aramaic. And it says like this. If God will not want to save us, okay, so the king will know that we are not prepared to worship any idols. That's what you'll know. We can't tell you that it doesn't mean there's no God. It just means God wasn't prepared to save us for another reason. God's not responsible to save us. But what you will know is that we will not embrace your foreign deity. We will not embrace your golden God. So we can see from the words of Daniel that when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah spoke to Nebuchadnezzar, what did they say? They didn't say, we're ready to be thrown into a fire because we know that God is going to save us because you saved Avraham Avinu. They said, God may not save us. It doesn't mean there isn't a God. What you should know is, it means that we are prepared to pay the ultimate price. That's what you will know. So this is a very unusual Rashi. It's an unusual Rashi because Rashi is giving us like a whole story, details, like he's talking to us, Hilchas Kiddush Hashem now. That if, God forbid, the moment comes and you're called upon to give your life, this is the narrative you must follow. You have to be like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You have to know you may not be saved. And you have to be prepared to pay the ultimate price. Maybe God will make a miracle. Maybe. But we don't know that for sure. We can't bank on it, if you will. Why is Rashi telling that to us? If Rashi's job is simply to explain the meaning of the word, he said, what does it mean, v'kadashta b'Yisrael? Le'sechal Hashem Kodesh, says Rashi, when you brazenly violate the will of Hashem. That's Chilul Hashem. What's a Kiddush Hashem? A Kiddush Hashem is when you're ready to pay the ultimate price, full stop. Instead, Rashi introduces us, explains a concept to us, and then cross-references the story of Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. So, to better understand the meaning of martyrdom and what this is really all about, I'm going to direct you now to page Shin Aleph in the Biurim book. This is the fifth entry in Parshas Emor, and we begin here with a quote from Rashi, the Rashi we just learned. And the Rebbe asks a question. L'shem ma, maybe Rashi didn't say, why is Rashi bringing this detailed halacha of how a person must be prepared to pay the price? Kishu hu moiser atzmai, when you give yourself over, yimser atzmai menas lamos, then give yourself over for martyrdom. Expect to die. Don't expect miracles. This is not relevant for the explanation of this pasuk. Rashi simply has to explain. The pasuk that he has to explain is, why does it say v'leisechalalu? What does it mean? He explained to you what it means. Rashi said, v'leisechalalu means la'avid al dvarei mezidin, to violate my words willfully. Okay. Then it says v'nikdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael. What does that mean? Rashi explained to you. It means that you're ready to pay the ultimate price. It means Mesorid Atzmacha V'Kadesh Shmi. Give yourself over, sanctify my name. That's all. That's all Rashi needed to say. You want to add the words Yachal B'Yachir Talmud Lev B'Seich B'nei Yisrael, fine. The Rashi should have ended right there. The continuation of Rashi. U'chashem Mesorid Atzmai. And when he gives himself over, what relevance? The whole rest of the Rashi does not seem to explain the pasuk any differently. And here's where it gets really interesting. The Rambam, who never wrote a commentary on Chumash, although there are a number of people who have lifted the Rambam's comments from various places and try to create a commentary on Chumash. Never wrote a commentary on Chumash. Rabbi Avram, the son of the Rambam, references his father's interpretations of Chumash sometimes, but to the best of our knowledge, it was never actually a compendium or a compilation of interpretations. There were teachings from the Rambam, a teaching here, a teaching there. The various times in Mishnah Torah, he alludes to a pasuk and explains it. In Moreh Nevuchim, he explains the pasuk. In Geras Teiman, he explains it. He explains various psukim, various verses, but he never wrote an actual commentary. Rambam was the codifier, not the commentator. Rashi is the commentator. Rashi didn't write any codes. So Rashi writes commentary, and he gives us a halacha here. He's giving us a code. Rambam writes a sefer called Mishnah Torah, which is entirely codes. And there, Rambam leaves this halacha out. He has halachas called the laws of Kiddush Hashem. And the Rambam leaves this halacha out. He does not mention. He goes into details of whether there's 10 people or not 10 people. What happens if you're supposed to give your life and you didn't give your life? What happens if you didn't give your life, if you were not supposed to give your life and you did give your life? Rambam goes through all these eventualities there. But the one halacha that he never talks about is Uchashe Yimser Atzmei Yimser Atzmei Menas Lamos. He never mentions this. Incidentally, this is found in the Teres Karinim. This is found in the Medrash Halacha that accompanies the third book of the Torah, which is known as the Sefra. It's found there. Our sages actually said this. And for some strange reason, Rambam did not include that in halacha. He didn't include that halacha in Mishnah Torah. And Dafkan Rashi, who doesn't write codes, who writes a commentary, includes this halacha in his commentary when seemingly it adds nothing to the commentary. It's very strange. So the Rebbe suggests that here we find the evidence of a foundational dispute between Rashi and Rambam in the understanding of the meaning of martyrdom. That Rashi and Rambam actually have very different ways of understanding this mitzvah. Ladas Rashi, according to the opinion of Rashi, at least in what we would call Pshut Shel Mikra, in the straightforward, simplest interpretation of the verse, in Lahalei Saladas She'etzem Harigasi Shel Yehudi, you cannot think that the death of a Jew because of his faith in God is a Kiddush Hashem. How is that a Kiddush Hashem? A Jew is killed because he's a Jew, because he believes in God, because he wants to do mitzvahs. He said, wow, it's a Kiddush Hashem. That's a sanctification of God. That's a sanctification of God? Adarabe, on the contrary, Me'ura Shekozeh, such an event is Mechalel Hashmei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a desecration of God. It's a desecration of all that's holy. What do people say? Look, here, here's the believer. Look what happened to him. Broken, bleeding, dead. What a Kiddush Hashem. It's a Chilul Hashem. So it's a desecration of God's name. Harei hu yoytzer es hareishim she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu eini megen. What's the takeaway from this? What's the takeaway when you see such a horrible situation? Where was God? Where was God? God doesn't care. God doesn't care. Here are these people. They're willing to die for him. He doesn't care. Because you say he's omnipotent. He could save them. He could do whatever he wants. He didn't care. Where was he in the Holocaust? Why didn't he stop it? I posted this advertising for this class last night. One of the most awful pictures, Holocaust pictures, of Kiddush Hashem. Of David's mother's rabbi, Rabbi Moshe Hagerman, standing in Olkush with broken open tefillin, barefoot in front of corpses, moments before he's killed. That's a Kiddush Hashem. And many people have asked the question, where was God? So, oh, Kiddush Hashem! Really? Sanctification? It's the biggest desecration. And therefore, Rashi has a problem. This conveys the message, Chalila, Ala Maminim Bay, and those who believe in Hashem, then it don't help them. In the words of the psalmist, who cries out in pain, Lama Yemru Hagoyim, why should the nation say, Aye Eloheim? Where's their God now? Let their God come and fight me. Show me where their God is now. It's a Chilul Hashem. When would it be a Kiddush Hashem? What would be a sanctification of Hashem's name? A sanctification of Hashem's name would be when a miracle would happen. Misrach Eshnes. Oh, you see that? That's a Kiddush Hashem. Hananiah v'Shomer Zariah get thrown in a fire because of their dedication to God. And they're saved, like Avraham Avinu. Moser es nafshei v'nitzel min hasakana. The person was ready to pay the price. And you see, God is great. And he was saved. That will be Miskad Hashemesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'elam. This everybody will talk about. This they will rave about. This they will say, you see that? You see that? The person believed in Hashem, and in fact, he was saved. Everybody will see that when a Yid keeps the mitzvahs of Hashem, he merits HaKadosh Baruch Hu making all of, that God shields him. There's a shocking statement that Avraham Avinu makes after the war with the five kings, the four kings who beat the five kings. So Avraham Avinu says, maybe my accrued merits are spent now. Accrued merits are spent. And God says, don't worry about it. This is nothing. You didn't even touch the principal. Well, you just used a little bit of the interest. So the question becomes, Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu was worried about payment? Avraham Avinu was Oyhavi. He's the God's lover. And a lover means you do it not for payment. What's a lover mean? An act of love is altruistic. So Avraham Avinu served Hashem altruistically. What was he worried about as a reward? So the Rebbe once explained that Avraham Avinu was worried that he didn't deserve more. But the people wouldn't know that. What would they say? Ha, see what happens? Avraham Avinu dedicates life to God, and now he's penniless. You want to be penniless? Go be a believer. Avraham Avinu said, that would be a Chilul Hashem. That's what he was worried about. So I don't care about me. I care about how the perception will be. But here, the perception of seeing martyrdom is a Chilul Hashem, not a Kiddush Hashem. This is exactly what's bothering Rashi. This is a terrible issue. This is a huge, huge question mark. So therefore, Ella, Shemeha Omer Eila, it comes out that Kiddush Hashem is a Pu'ula Hanasis Al Yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the Kiddush Hashem would be the miracle, that's the Kiddush Hashem. Who made the Kiddush Hashem then? Yeah, because you can't make miracles. So Hashem made a Kiddush Hashem. So then how could it be a mitzvah? How could it be a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem? It's God's mitzvah. Here it says, "V'nikdashti b'seich b'nei Yisrael, I'll be hallowed, I'll be sanctified." Why will God be hallowed and sanctified? Because God hallowed and sanctified Himself. Shkoyach. So what's our mitzvah? Where's our participation in this? It has to happen al yedei ha'adam. Ma'avei for mashmuset shom mitzvahs kiddush Hashem. What's the meaning of the mitzvah? The mitzvah of martyrdom. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is that God will make a miracle. So what's the mitzvah? What was asked of me, of us, if God made the miracle? In order to answer this very question, Mefarash Rashi, Rashi says, when you give yourself over, here's how you should do it. You must do it with full dedication, ready to pay the price. Why? If you give yourself over because you're expecting a miracle, then a miracle for sure won't happen. In other words, the meaning of the mitzvah. You want to know the meaning of martyrdom from Rashi's perspective is? Shala adam limsedes nafshe bederech, that a person should commit himself in the way shetovi lekach shakadosh baruch hu yaslein neis. You must do your best to bring about a miracle. You must do your best. How can I bring about a miracle? So first of all, I have to tell you right now, there's no guarantees. There's no guarantees. And unfortunately, many, many times there have not been miracles. But, The way we can come closest to bringing a miracle is doing our part. And doing our part means that we have to actually be ready for Mesiras Nefesh. Our readiness for Mesiras Nefesh can ultimately catalyze a miracle. If we have the merit, if we're fortunate enough, then the name of Hashem would indeed be sanctified. So therefore, you must give yourself over in this way. That's the mitzvah. The Kiddush Hashem, from Rashi's perspective, is the miracle. The question is, how do you make a miracle? How do you manufacture a miracle? The answer is, I don't know how. Or better yet, we can't. Who makes miracles? God makes miracles. So the question is, what could I do to contribute to the making of a miracle? And the answer is, I could be ready for Mesiras Nefesh. If you're ready for Mesiras Nefesh, that's the greatest or closest we could come to the concept of making a Kiddush Hashem. In other words, that this detail of Yimser Atzmei, according to Rashi, is the mitzvah. That is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. The mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem is the willingness to pay that price. And then a miracle could happen. But the Rambam has a totally different approach, my friends. The Rambam doesn't bring this halacha. The Rambam's approach is that, you know, what is the Kiddush Hashem? The Kiddush Hashem is when a Yid demonstrates to the world that his or her devotion to Hashem is absolute. It's not something which is, well, I'm a fair weather Jew. I'm a fair weather believer. If everything's fine, I believe. What if things don't go fine? Well, then count me out. That is the Kiddush Hashem, Rambam says. And therefore, the Rambam says, what is the mitzvah? In Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam actually describes. He says, what is the meaning of martyrdom? What is this mitzvah? He says, Asher anachnu mitzuvim lefarsim ha'emunah hazeis. We were commanded to publicize the faith in Hashem. That it is absolutely true. And afal pi shabo leinu machriach levakesh mimenu lechafeseinu. Even though some kind of force comes along to make us deny it. Shalei nishmai lev, don't listen to God. So we will not listen to him. We will not listen. If he tells us don't listen to God, we won't listen to him. What will we do instead? Nimser atzmeinu lemisa. I'm ready to pay the price. And that's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. The mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, Rambam says, is when the Yid's ready to pay the price. When a rabbi like that is about to be killed, sees all his people killed, and what's the one thing he wants to do? He wants to say Kaddish. He doesn't even have kosher tefillin left. He puts on the broken straps. He puts on whatever he could. He demonstrates that I'm not a fair weather Jew. That my dedication to God is 100% absolute. That is the greatest Kiddush Hashem. In other words, it's not the miracle that's a Kiddush Hashem. It's our devotion that's a Kiddush Hashem. So from the Rambam's perspective, Yimser Atzmo Manas Lomos, that's your intention is of secondary. The main thing is what was done. And what was done is when Yidden have demonstrated over the ages that never, ever, never we were ready to say, you know what? In that case, okay, forget about it. My Judaism is for sale. When a Yid says that certain things are not for sale and I'll pay the ultimate price but I won't let go of this, then that, according to the Rambam, is the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. I once had a conversation with a colleague of mine, Rabbi Manus Freeman. He asked me the question. He said, so what was the halakha? So what was the Kiddush Hashem? What was the Kiddush Hashem? The people had a choice. They were asked. You want to be Jewish, not Jewish? You want to be Jewish? Then you go to the gas chambers. Oh, you don't want to be Jewish? No problem. In that case, then you go home. They were not asked. They didn't have a choice. So he said something interesting to me. He said, to the best of our knowledge, the Jews went into the circumstances with absolute faith. They didn't go saying, I wish I wasn't Jewish. Screaming, I don't believe. Hey, I'm not a believer. I'm not Jewish. They said, if this is our fate, then this is our fate. But our Yiddishkeit is never something we'll be embarrassed of. And our connection to Hashem is never something willing to give away. He said, that is the greatest Kiddush Hashem. The notion that there were Jews who went to the gas chamber singing Ani Mamen, I believe, is the greatest testament to the undying faith of the Jewish people. The Eibishter should help us that the Kiddush Hashem and the sacrifices of the ages should have satisfied any need for demonstrating that we are serious and committed. Never, ever, ever, Chas V'Shalom again, should be a need for Mesiras Nefesh, and we should be zeicher to the greatest Kiddush Hashem, which is the coming of Mashiach, the Meheira, will be Amenu, Amen.